Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz was a member of the O.J. Simpson defense team during the criminal trial. He was the appellate expert, the lawyer who was preparing for the possibility of a guilty verdict, in which case he presumably would have framed Simpson's appeal. He then wrote the book Reasonable Doubts about the Simpson case. And now as the civil trial begins, he is not a member of the Simpson legal team. He's at home in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And Alan Dershowitz, I'd like to ask you something. I realize this is a civil trial that's beginning. It's not another criminal trial. But isn't there at least a whiff of double jeopardy here in trying a man again for the same thing in which he was acquitted in a criminal trial?
Well, the whiff becomes a little bit more like a powerful smell when you realize that this case is all about punitive damages. And punitive damages are intended to serve much the same function as a criminal trial, to punish, to deter, to send a message, to do justice, not to compensate for any actual suffering experienced by the tragic victims in this case. And so because punishment was at stake in both cases, there is a little bit more than a whiff of double jeopardy, though technically under the Constitution, since he is not subject to literal jeopardy of life or limb, he can't be put in jail or sentenced to the death penalty. Technically, double jeopardy does not apply.
You are contrasting punitive damages with compensatory damages.
Mm-hmm.
This would
yes.
be a straight out-and-out civil case, you're saying, if the families of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman simply were asking for what always strikes laymen as this odd calculation of how much money that person was worth to them in his lifetime.
That's exactly right. There's another element where part of the principle underlying double jeopardy comes into play in this case, too. It's a very technical term called collateral estoppel. It means, in lay terms, that if something has already been established at one trial, whether it's criminal or civil, it needn't be established at a second trial. It's a form of judicial economy. So that, for example, hypothetically, if Simpson had been convicted and there had been a second trial, even though there's the double jeopardy clause, he could not have, at the second trial, argued that he didn't do it. The fact that he had been convicted would serve to prove at the second trial without any further evidence that he did it. The reason for that is the standard of proof mm-hmm. in a criminal case is more compelling. Therefore, a fortiori, if he did it for criminal purposes, he obviously did it for civil purposes, but the opposite doesn't apply. If he, quote, didn't do it for criminal purposes, that doesn't mean he didn't do it for civil purposes because there's a lower standard of proof.
Yes, in this case, if the jury simply finds that a preponderance of the evidence, and indeed if not all of the jurors, but 9 out of 12, I gather, find a preponderance mm-hmm. of the evidence suggests that he did it, then he is found liable in this case.
To put it in very practical terms, in a criminal trial, the jury is instructed in effect, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if you think he probably did it, you are to acquit. Probably isn't enough. But in a civil trial, probably is enough.
Therefore, the fact of O.J. Simpson's acquittal does not amount to a fact in a civil trial that he didn't do it. You can't simply say, well, I was acquitted of this case, but...
That's right. And in fact, the public will be very confused if there were to be a verdict of liability in this case, because many will say, how could he have not done it in trial A and done it in trial B? In fact, it follows quite logically, if there were to be a finding here, that there wasn't enough proof, both quantitatively, in this case more qualitatively, raising a reasonable doubt in a criminal case, but a reasonable doubt's not enough in a civil case. If there's a preponderance, that means if he probably did it, then he is liable in the civil court.
But let me stand up for the confused public in that hypothetical eventuality. Why wouldn't it be correct to say that if somebody has just been held liable for killing two human beings, and obviously the case isn't here whether somebody holding a gun admits that the gun went off in his hand, but did he mean it or not, or did he plan to do it, or did he intend to do it, but rather, did he kill these people?
Right.
And if one court found, yes, he killed them and he's held liable for it, doesn't that make the other trial a miscarriage of justice?
No, because the other court didn't find that he didn't do it. In fact, several of the jurors said they thought he probably did do it, but that the evidence, particularly because of allegations of perhaps police misconduct or perjury, raised a reasonable doubt. So you can't say that the first criminal trial concluded he didn't do it. All it concluded is that there was a reasonable doubt about whether he did it.
Alan Dershowitz, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz, a member of the defense team in O.J. Simpson's criminal trial, spoke with us from his home in Cambridge, Massachusetts.